Welcome to the We Are Calvary podcast, where our mission is to share Jesus and help people experience life change. Thank you so much for listening. Here's this week's message.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for being here. If you're a guest here, my name is Ray, Pastor Ray. If you've been here for a long time and forgotten my name, it's still Pastor Ray. So thank you for being here. I am jazzed to be here with you tonight. Excited about what the Lord has in store, not just for tonight, but for Calvary community in the days and the months ahead. I'm excited, and I don't really want to get into that tonight, today, but it's just good to be here to worship outside with you. Before I get going, and I will, could I trouble you just to look around, just to look at the sky and all the trees. When I stand here, I see so many things. I can turn around and not see a building. I can look this way and see a house where we were building, and Mrs. Sonnen, who lived in that house, would get upset every other day, and I would have to come over and calm her down, only to find out she really wasn't mad, she was lonely. And I was the one who would come and spend time with her. But take in the sky. I hadn't planned to go to St. George, Red Mountain, where I go, and God ended up sending me there. And so I'd get up at 5:30 and I'd walk up through the canyon and just be blessed by knowing we have an awesome God. And sometimes we get so busy and doing what we're doing that we don't just look up. And the Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. And so I'd like us just to take a minute. I'm not going to have you stand for the reading of the word. I just ask you right where you're at just to close your eyes and just say, Father, I realize that this beauty that we behold is because of you. If the heavens can declare your glory, then so can I. If we can be out in your presence, then Lord, let me be a worshiper. Make me truly thankful for what you've given to us. Lord, I pray for every family, pray for every person who hears this message tonight, that you would just bless us in profound ways, that this would simply not be another message. Lord, I'm tired of that. Lord, I'm going back to preaching for life change. Lord, and you accept nothing less. So Lord, be with us tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as many of you know, we've been gone this summer. I've been gone. Mary's been here a little bit more than I. But we spent time with our family. And this is the year we all went to Hawaii together. And the day the kids left, both Mary and I came down with COVID. And so for the next 4 or 5 days, we were sick. And then the day we started feeling better, the tsunami alarms went off. And over there, they take it seriously because they've endured that kind of thing. And so, you know, thankfully it didn't happen, but all the preparation, and you look out and no one's in downtown. And so then the day we came home, Mary came down with an intestinal flu. And notice I said the word intestinal. I just want you to know how bad it was. And it was pretty bad. And so it was, if you will, a summer to remember. Now, every year I spend time, I call it Red Mountain. I go to St. George, Utah, and I spend time in this certain area. But with Mary sick, I decided not to go, because what kind of a husband leaves when their wife is sick? And so I chose not to go. And then I went ahead. I had a meeting at the end of the week where I had to fly out and meet with one of the pastors here from Calvary. And we met and talked, and God met us there in that conversation. And I don't want to talk about it tonight. I'll talk about it when we get back inside and things can happen a little differently. But there's so much going on in my head right now, and I just thank you for allowing me to kind of parse it out as I go. I have this sense of urgency. If there's a word the Lord gave me this this summer is the word urgency. And we'll unpack that a little bit, but we need to be a little more, as the church, the body of Christ, urgent to see people come to know Jesus, to see people experience new life, to see this valley change, not for our glory, but for his. It's time for the church to step up and be the church. And we'll talk about that in the days and the weeks ahead. We're concluding, starting up. I'm not sure what I'm doing tonight. You know, the last couple months, you guys have heard about the different Bible characters in Scripture. You've talked about different men and women. And before I say any more, I just want to say thank you to all who spoke. We had veterans like Pastor Lance, Pastor Mary, and Barnes, David Barnes. But then we also had these young people speak. And I got to say, they were all amazing. And I don't want to name names, but man, I was so thankful that these young people, some in their 20s, some in their early 30s, spoke and just brought heaven down and was so thankful. And they were all phenomenal. And I just thank the Lord for each and every one of them, their hearts for Jesus and their heart for Scripture. In my opinion, the church is in good hands for years to come. Now, in this series that we've been in, we were spent walking through the stories of men and women who, frankly, were just ordinary people. Nothing innately special about any of them. In fact, the only thing that you could really say about them is that they, at best, were ordinary. Many times, they were flawed human beings. Some stumbled badly. Many of them made mistakes. But in each case that you heard about these last few weeks, they all triumphed by faith. They all triumphed by faith. In fact, they end up in Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, the hall of fame of faith, because they of what God allowed in their hearts to be accomplished. We read their stories. We study their stories. We want to know them. We want to learn from them. We want to learn about them. But here's the thing. Looking at all of their lives should lead us somewhere. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I refuse to come to church just for church's sake. We are the church. We don't come to church. We're the church. And so when we look at these different people in Scripture, whether it be Abraham or Peter or David or all of these different things, it should cause us to pose the question deep within ourselves, the question we often overlook, the question that we get so busy, too busy to answer. And here it is. As we look at their stories, we have to ask this question: what will my story say? What will my story reveal? This is the question the Spirit is wanting us to answer this evening. What about my story? What about your story? Our story is the church. What will my story say? You see, there's a story in each and every one of us that's been being written every day, day by day. And there will be those in our lives that will read the stories that we are creating. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, "You yourselves are a letter of recommendation written on your hearts to be known and read by all men. You show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." Paul says, your life and my life are letters to be read, to be known and read by all men and women. He said that we are a letter from Christ. We're written not with the ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Every single day, every single one of us is writing a story. Through every choice, through every word, through every thought, through every action, these are all lines on the pages of my life, lines on the pages of your life. What will my story declare? What will your story say? Each of our stories has what we call a plot line, a plot. Whenever I walk through Barnes & Noble, be it the one in Federal Way or the one down south or the one that's hopefully coming in the next month to our city, I always go to the book and I open it. I read the inside covers and I read the back because I want to know what the book is about. I want to know the plot. The plot tells me what the story, what the book is, and it runs through every chapter. The question we have to ask, what is the plot line of my life? What is the plot line of my life? What's the story of my life? And does my story make any sense? Now, that may be an odd way to put it, but it comes down to this. The truth is, every story, every life makes sense only as it receives the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes my story make sense. That's what makes your story make sense. Needs the gospel, needs God, needs the work of Jesus, the working of the Holy Spirit to make any sense. Think about the men and women in Scripture. Abraham lied about his wife but became the father of faith. Think about David. David committed multiple sins that destroyed not just one family, but more than one. But the Bible said he was a man after God's own heart. Think about Peter, who made so many mistakes. I can't even list them all. But the big one at the end when he denied Jesus three times, but whose kind of faith Jesus said of this, upon which I will build my faith, will build my church. The point is, not their story, not your story, not my story makes any sense apart from grace. Doesn't make a lick of sense without grace, without God's gift of mercy and God's gift of compassion. Their stories would have no value without Jesus. Their stories would only simply be cautionary tales of failure. But by the grace of God, by the power of God, their stories are redeemed, their weaknesses become strength, and their stories point to only one thing, to the glory of God. The same must be true for you and for me. The same must be true. To be honest with you, without grace, I don't have a story worth reading. Without the cross, my story and your story ends in shame. Without Jesus, I have no one to edit my story, the chapters in my life, or to change the ending. But here's the good news, friends. With Jesus Christ, our stories can be rewritten. They can be redeemed. They can be restored. And yes, they can finally make sense. Back to the original question this evening. What will the stories of our lives say? What will they say about God? Did we, or are we living in such a way that people see his glory? That people see his greatness? That people see his faithfulness? That people see his mercy? They see his compassion? They see his justice? They see God high and lifted up? Do they see something in the stories of our lives that draw them to Jesus Christ? Psalm 115 and 1 said, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. What will our story say about how we see people in our lives? Will our stories of my life and your life declare that we loved our neighbor? Will our story say that we were willing to forgive a wrong, to forgive quickly? Jesus said the two most important commandments would love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Simply put, are we sharing Christ through the story of our lives this evening? What does the story we are writing not only say about God or about others, but really, what does it say about us? What does it say? So many things, as you have learned over the last couple of months, inform our stories, our past experiences, our wounds, our choices. The choices, the daily decisions that lead us to obedience or disobedience, that lead us to forgiveness or resentment, to generosity or selfishness, all inform our lives. Those relationships we live by, the people we surround ourselves with, the voices to which we listen. How does my faith inform my story? Do I believe in the promises of God? Do I trust him? Do I believe that he's more than able to do exceedingly more than I can ask or think? What do I believe today in my faith? Do we believe in Jesus? Do we believe that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is able to work within you and I tonight? And ultimately, the thing that should inform our relationship more more than anything would be my relationship with Jesus that shapes and defines our stories, our walk with Jesus. See, ultimately, our relationship with Jesus, it's what shapes and defines us. Without Jesus, our lives are simply biographies. Oh, but with Jesus, they're testimonies. I've read biographies. I've read Truman. I've read Grant. Huge books. Didn't do a thing for me. But I've read little books of people who had sold out to God, revivals that took place in the Hebrides, in South Wales, around the world. People who humbled themselves and prayed, little things and yet impacted my life because they weren't biographies, they were testimonies. The good news is that in Christ, no story is final until the last chapter. That no matter how much you or I have messed up our stories, the power of the living God is demonstrated in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is more than able to restore your story and let it make sense for you. Here's the thing, whatever chapter you're in, whatever is you find yourself in your story, it can be rewritten tonight. Some things that need to happen, things that the Lord is re-impressing upon me, who's been a Christian a long time, words that need to grip our soul, words like confession and surrender. Maybe we need to invite the author back into our story. Possibly we need to renew our minds and allow the Spirit to reshape our thinking. Maybe, just maybe, we need to have a hunger and thirst for righteousness, to walk in obedience just one chapter at a time. How about this one? Maybe God is not just calling me, but maybe God is calling all of us to be part of a story that's bigger than our own. That's bigger than our own. One that may not be able to change the whole world, but can change this part of our community here. One that gives our stories meaning and purpose. One that lasts for eternity. Can I just I'm not going to get off on a tangent here, but just can I just say, your story is not some cheap, tawdry, travel stop kind of paperback book on the way to wherever you're going. You're what we call a classic. Why? Because the author's name is Jesus. You have value today. You are a classic destined for eternity, a novel meant to bring hope to a dying world. Your story is not meant to sit on some shelf, never to be read. It's time for the church to rise and let our stories in Jesus Christ be read. Yours and mine is a story of life and of power and of joy and of hope, and it's time for us to let the rest of ourselves know it. We have no right to live our lives as though they belong to us. The Bible says that we have been bought with a price, bought by the precious blood of Jesus. The father of lies wants the church to get caught up in the, well, we're just to this or to that. Let me tell you something. I mean, if the enemy of your soul is going to tell you that your story doesn't matter, and that's a lie from the pit of hell. The enemy of your soul is going to tell you that you're too old, too young, too poor, too rich, too educated, too uneducated, too busy, too unbusy, too sinful, too many failures, too this or too that, and he's a liar. Your story matters this evening. You need to tell the name of your soul, as that great and wise philosopher Steve Martin said. The enemy's messing with the wrong guy. He's messing with the wrong person in Jesus Christ today. I thought that was pretty funny. But seriously, you need to remember who you are, with plenty of story left to tell. As we allow the Holy Spirit of God to shape our stories or reshape them, whatever it might be, what will others say about us? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. You know what? I don't know that the cloud of witnesses is closed. I don't know that it's closed. Here's my point. Hebrews 11 is made up of people who, through the ups and downs of their life, live their lives by faith. Here's my question. If it's possible, will our names be included? Will our names be included? By faith, Marilyn trusted God through her illness. By faith, Don shared Jesus with those at the car dealership. By faith, we loved. By faith, we forgave. By faith, we got back up when we fell. By faith, we picked up the sword once again and said, by faith, I will live for the glory of God. 40 years, I've done a lot of memorial services, a lot of funerals. Some were hard because they wrote their own stories, and you dug for something to say. Well, he was a good person. But there were other memorial services that kind of wrote themselves. You know why? Because these people had allowed Jesus to write the chapters of their lives. And you could say about each of them, well done, good and faithful servant. It could be said of each that Jesus was the author, the finisher of their faith, who had written the chapters of their lives. Think of Marilyn or Don or Steve or Myrna, Gary, Jolene, Jim, Layla, Cheryl, Matt, and countless others who are today part of the great cloud of witnesses. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, they triumphed over him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I don't know how much I'll say that you remember, but just remember this, achievements fade, but faithfulness endures. Achievements fade, but faithfulness endures. Towards the end of Paul's life, he said these words, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. He didn't claim perfection, he claimed faithfulness. The measure of your life and the measure of my life is not, did I get it all right? Because I can answer that for me, and quite frankly, I can answer it for you. No. There's only one saved, Jesus. There's only Jesus who got it all right. Look what we did to him. It's not about perfection. Here's the question. Did I keep the faith? Did I live by faith? As we enjoy this outside and the breeze that's coming up, thank the Lord. The beauty is that whatever chapter you are in this evening, Jesus can rewrite that chapter for you. Jesus rewrites chapters. Not only can he rewrite your past, but he can write some new chapters in you tonight. Are you excited about that? I got to tell you, I'm excited about that. I'm thrilled. Let it be said. Let it be said of you and of me. Not that we were perfect. Not that Calvary's a good size or it's got great music or got great this or that. Let it be said of us. By faith they lived. By faith they trusted. By faith they finished well. That's my prayer for us. It's my prayer for me today. Who's getting baptized? Anyone? Are you? Well, yeah. I hadn't planned to do this, but if you're being baptized, would you come right up here? And then I'll let you go do what you're supposed to do to go get baptized. But everybody just, if you're being baptized, just come right down here and stand. Right there, that's good. Face this way. I'm going to do the talking at you, not them. Face this way. Well, first of all, congratulations. You can give him a hand clap. This is a big deal. You can come around here and get your picture. I don't care. We're excited for you. In light of this message, I just want to say something to you personally. You're beginning a new chapter. See, what you're doing is you're letting not just us know, but by Jesus writing a new chapter in your life, the people around you are going to know. My prayer for you tonight is this, that through your being buried with Christ, rising with Christ, living a new life in Christ, that God would write a phenomenal chapter for you. That God would just open the windows of heaven and do something so powerful in your life. You can't help but tell other people. See, let me tell you a secret. Some of us, we've been Christians too long. We're not really telling our story. But you, your new voices, your new chapters. May the Spirit of the living God fall fresh on these young people and on us older folk. Maybe not me, older folk, but you know what I'm saying. Do you mind if I pray with you before you go into baptism, we worship? Father, thank you for these who are going to be baptized. They've already made a profession of faith. That's why they're here. We pray right here, right now, that your Holy Spirit would say to each of them, page one, thus saith the Lord, you are my child. You belong to me. I pray that you would help them, Spirit, to walk by faith, to trust when it gets difficult, to trust when something arises and they don't know how to answer it themselves. Do stuff in them, Lord, that requires you. Do something within all of us that requires the presence of the living God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Bless them and impact them powerfully, we pray. As they enter the waters of baptism, they come out fully in love with you. Let this be a time that they will never, ever forget. Chapter 1. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to partner with us in sharing Jesus and helping people experience life change, you can support our mission by clicking the link in the description. If this message has impacted you, please subscribe and share. To learn more, visit wearecalvary.com. We'll see you back next week.